most loving God who is far beyond our wildest imagination, as the book of Ephesians says. When the disciples saw Jesus praying, he asked him to teach them to pray. Imagine the sight of Jesus in communion with his Father. Disciples saw this and asked the Lord to teach them to pray. What a commendable request. If Jesus prayed to his Father, how much more we should be spending time in prayer. Maybe sometimes we treat prayer more like a responsibility than a privilege. Prayer is a privilege, not a responsibility. From the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, the line says, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. A privilege. Imagine if we couldn't. What if there was no one to turn to when you prayed? You couldn't turn to the Lord. No one around you understood you, and you couldn't turn to the Lord either. But you can turn to him, and he understands more than you know. Prayer should never be routine or habitual. It should be something that we want to just go and meet Jesus in prayer every day. The Lord invites us to pray. Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus gave what's called the great invitation. Come unto me, the Son of God, inviting us to spend time with him. Even though the Lord knows what we are going to say, he still wants to hear from us, and he listens to us. How many times did you talk to somebody and they really weren't interested in what you were saying? They really weren't listening. You talk and their mind is someplace else. You could see it by the look on their face. Never with Jesus. He listens to you wholeheartedly. Sometimes we may delay our prayer time because we have something else to do. But if we really thought about the awesome privilege of prayer and who it is that we are talking to, we would not put off prayer until a later time. As we know, the answer to our prayers is not always yes. But that shouldn't make us feel any different about prayer. Sometimes God says, wait. Other times the Lord says no, and for a good reason. But the no is still an answer to prayer. The Lord doesn't say no just to refuse us or to watch us squirm. If God says no, he might be sparing us a misfortune down the road that we have no idea about. And briefly, what about the greatness of God? In reference to the greatness of God, I'm going to be brief about this morning. We know about the greatness of God, especially through Isaiah chapter 40. But in that chapter, it says, to whom will you compare to me, or shall I be equal? No one even comes remotely close. Did you ever try to do math with infinity? Like, you know, they say if you divide by zero, you go into infinity. That's like trying to understand God. You go into infinity. You just can't. He's way beyond our wildest imagination. No one even comes remotely close to the greatness of God and who he is. He is way far beyond, infinitely beyond our wildest imagination. And this is who we are praying to. We can talk to this most amazing, most awesome God, as we said, who is far beyond our wildest imagination through prayer. It's like the most awesome privilege we've ever had to go and to pray. And realizing this infinite greatness of God should stimulate faith. How should we view prayer? When we come to the Lord in prayer, in spirit, we are entering that Holy of Holies that we talk about. You remember the temple, very briefly, was composed of, there was the courtyard, the holy place, the back room. The last two-thirds of the temple proper was called the Holy of Holies, which as we know, was restricted entry. Only the high priest, not even the priest, only the high priest could enter once a year on the Day of Atonement. And if he did anything wrong, as we said last week, he was dead. God took his life. That's why he had bells on the bottom of his garment. If the people outside of the Holy of Holies didn't hear the bells ringing as the high priest was making the sacrifice, it meant he was dead. And there was a rope around his ankle. Of course, no one could go in there to take him out of there if he was dead. There was a rope on his ankle that had to pull him out. When we come to the Lord in prayer, in spirit, we are entering the Holy of Holies, this most restricted place. And guess what? We can go in there in prayer. And you know what was in there too? The Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant had the lid. The lid was called the mercy seat. Guess what? We could go in this most restricted Holy of Holies and through Jesus only plead at the mercy seat. That lid of the Ark of the Covenant was called the mercy seat. Imagine only the high priest could go in there once a year. If he died, they had to pull him out with the rope. And we're going in there. We're going in because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. This is the privilege of prayer. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51 tells us that when Jesus expired on the cross, the veil of the temple that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And as we said before, that indicates that God did the tearing. Because if man did, it would have been from bottom to top. And how could a man tear something 4 inches thick? God did the tearing. And you know what? He said, welcome. There must have been, we can't imagine what God looks like, but there must have been this most awesome, unimaginable smile on his face as he said, welcome to my throne. Do we realize the value of Jesus, as we always said? The value, the most infinite value of Jesus and all that he means to us. In spirit, man can now enter the once forbidden Holy of Holies and talk to and have communion with the Almighty God. Could you imagine praying and not getting anywhere? If it weren't for Jesus, the only place your prayer would go would be the people around you that heard you praying. Wouldn't get out of the room. But through Jesus, it goes straight to heaven. That is why when we pray, we say, Heavenly Father, I come to you or thank you that I can come to you in the name of Jesus. You know, we sing the hymn, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Remember the third verse? Trusting only in your merit would I seek your face. You know what that means? Only through the merit of the cross could we even seek Jesus. If it weren't for Jesus, we could seek God all we wanted. Nothing would happen. Nothing. Your prayer would bounce off the ceiling and back to you. It would not reach the throne. Because of Jesus, it goes through the heavens, all of outer space, and right to the throne of God, wherever that is, but your prayer is there. Through the blood of Jesus, we sinful creatures can talk to the most awesome, infinitely great, mighty God. We sang this morning, I found a way through the blood. pass the veil to the Holy of Holies with God. There by his power over sin I prevail. I can walk in the path that he trod. There in the presence of Jesus I stand, glorified Son at the Father's right hand. There I can plead, I can claim, I can have all that he purchased for me because of the crucifixion and the blood that Jesus shed for us. What about the availability of God in prayer? God is always available and never too busy to listen to your prayer. Now, just imagine for a while, this may sound like a bit comical, but think of it. Imagine if prayer were like phone options. I mean, don't you love calling a business like Verizon, or if you call your doctor or something, the list of options you get. Now, you get this menu, then you get a submenu, then you get a submenu of the submenu. And then hopefully you get to speak to somebody, you know, a real person. But imagine if prayer were like phone options, like the phone menu. If you have sinned, press 1. If you want to be forgiven, press 2. If this is an emergency, please press 3. If you need healing, please press 4. If this is a financial crisis, press 5. If you are depressed, press 6. If you need protection, please press 7. Please wait while God is answering other prayers. Your prayer will be answered in the order that it was received. Please stay on your knees. You know, if prayer were like that, we would be in the crisis or dead, either one, before our prayer was answered. But in contrast, regarding the availability of our Heavenly Father, Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24 tells us, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer." I mean, phone companies have all these great options, you know, and you know how much data they could handle and all these fancy options. None of them could answer your call. They couldn't answer your prayer, your phone call before you even call. God could. He even knows what you're going to say. Verizon and Sprint and all the rest of them couldn't do that, but God could. Isaiah 65:24, before they call, I will answer. Turn with me, please, to Esther chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 10 to 17. What is it? Esther chapter 4 and verses 10 to 17. Esther 4, 10 to 17. The people of God were threatened by Haman. They were threatened that they were going to be like wiped, you know, get killed. And Esther, there was something that had to be done. Esther wanted to go. She was requested to go into the king and speak to the king to go against the orders of what Haman requested, which would have really been the end of the Jews. Verse 10, and we'll read to 17. Then Esther spoke to Hatak and ordered him to reply to Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death. Unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. They related Esther's words to Mordecai. Then Mordecai, who was like Esther's uncle, told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all of the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish." This was a threat to all the Jews. And who knows whether you have been attained, you have attained royalty for such a time as this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go, assemble all the Jews who are found at Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for these 3 days, night or day. And I and my maidens also will fast in the same way. And thus I will go in to the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther had commanded him. Queen Esther and all the Jews at Susa had to fast and hope that the king would raise the golden scepter before she could go into the king and make her plea to him. Although she was queen, even being queen, she could have been put to death because she was not summoned by the king. This is just the way the law worked in those days. She couldn't even go in. Otherwise, she could have been put to death. When we go to God in the name of Jesus, he raises his golden scepter for us. The Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, with ultimate infinite power, when we go to him in the name of Jesus, as soon as he hears name of Jesus, the golden scepter goes up. You know, the king over here, Ahasuerus, could have even killed the queen because he did not summon her. And yet we get to go to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in prayer through the name of Jesus. And God hears the name of Jesus, scepter goes up right away. I mean, what a God we serve. Do we realize the value of Jesus in our lives? He raises the golden scepter for us. We don't have to fast or fear for our lives or wonder if the Lord will hear our petition. Imagine every time you had to pray, "I don't know if God's going to, you know, accept my prayer. Let me fast for 3 days." And suppose your request didn't have 3 days. You had to have an answer the same day. Suppose you had to have an answer right away. By the time you fasted, you could have been dead. But it's not so with the Lord. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Soon as you pray in the name of Jesus, God's got the scepter up." Do you realize this morning the unbelievable, indescribable, undefined God that we have, that we sinful creatures can come before him in the name of Jesus? That's why I said this church is all about Jesus, because it is. Life is all about Jesus, whether or not a person realizes it or believes in him. Life is all about Jesus. We wouldn't even be breathing if it weren't for him. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you know, got the little organ in the back of our necks and the brainstem. It's called the breathing center. If Jesus shut that off, I'd drop to the floor right now, dead. He keeps that going. It's all about Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. As long as I'm in this church, that's what you're going to keep hearing. Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. Because there's no one like him, never will be, and he means more to us than we even know. Jesus invites us to come to him. "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do we realize who we are speaking to? It would be very difficult at best to speak to a governor, a senator, or even the president. But we can speak to our Heavenly Father, who is far too great to comprehend. Consider who said, "Come unto me." The Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, your Creator, the one who breathes out stars and holds planets in his hand, the one who walked on water, The one who commanded the sea to be still, the one who is known as the burden bearer, the one who has an infinite love that will not let us go, the one who is a friend like no other, the one who, as the book of Proverbs tells us, sticks closer than a brother, the one who said all nations are less than nothing before him, the one who opened blind eyes and deaf ears, the one who healed leprosy, the one who cast out a legion of demons, the one who raised the dead, the one who humbled himself and became one of us and then died for our eternal salvation, the one who said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. This is the one that said, come unto me. Do you think he can answer all your prayers and do whatever you're asking? As we discussed earlier, when we pray, we say, Heavenly Father, I come to you, or thank you that I can come to you in the name of Jesus. In speaking to God, we are connecting to a phenomenal power, a phenomenal power source which is infinitely great. At times, we may tell someone, and I'm not making fun of anybody, but you ever talk to someone and they say, well, all you could do is pray. It's like, what? All you could do is pray? Considering who we are speaking to, it is the best, prayer is the best, the wisest, the most powerful, and the most awesome thing we could do. These days, nuclear power is known as the superior power. But nuclear power cannot even come remotely close to the power of the Almighty God. This is the power that is accessible to us when we pray. This power is accessible to us when we pray. Prayer has healed the sick, raised the dead, closed the mouth of lions, stopped the violence of fire, caused the sun to be still in the sky, changed the weather, opened prison doors, released people from bondage, restored ruined lives, healed broken hearts, prevented accidents, provided jobs, caused people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the list goes on and on. What can't prayer do? Bet you can't answer that one. What can't prayer do? Prayer can do anything. Now I want to speak just a little while about God hears your prayer. The Lord hears every prayer that we speak to him, even though sometimes we may wonder if he's even paying attention to us. The book of Genesis tells us that there was strife between Sarah and her maid Hagar. Abraham had to send Hagar out of the house and she wandered into the wilderness. I'll read to you briefly Genesis chapter 21 and verses 15 to 19. Chapter 21 and verses 15 to 19. I'll read it to you. Now Hagar was roaming out in the wilderness at this point. When the water in the skin was used up, she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went out and sat down opposite him, about a bow shot away, for she said, do not let me see the boy die. And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. God saw and heard Hagar, Sarah's maid, in the wilderness. He heard the cry of Hagar and Ishmael in the wilderness. God hears your cry. Don't ever be tempted to think God didn't hear your request. That's from the devil. How could God not hear you? From his great heart of love and mercy, he took care of Hagar and Ishmael. God always hears our prayers and our cries. The Lord heard the cries of Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel, when she prayed to him for children. And I'm not going to read it, but 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19 says, "And the Lord remembered her." You know, God remembers the first prayer you made to him. I don't remember my first prayer to God. He remembers it. For me, that was 67 years ago. I don't remember it. God does. God hears and remembers all our prayers. Here's a good one. The Lord heard the prayer of King Hezekiah, king of Judah, when Sennacherib, king of Assyria, threatened to invade. Sennacherib sent word that no army has been able to stop his invasion, and he was right. Sennacherib had one of the most brutal armies that ever existed, and now he sends word to King Hezekiah of Judah, "I'm going to do the same thing to you. I'm going to overrun you and flatten you." So King Hezekiah took the threatening letter and brought it before the Lord in the temple. God heard the prayer of the king and answered through the prophet Isaiah. And I'm going to read to you, if you want to turn with me, Isaiah chapter 37, verses 33 to 37. So Hezekiah brings the letter to the Lord in the temple. God heard. He read the letter. He heard what was the prayer of Hezekiah. And God answers through the prophet Isaiah. Watch this. Isaiah 37, verses 33 to 37. Don't tangle with the Almighty like Sennacherib did. "Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, he will not come to the city or shoot an arrow there. He will not come before it with the shield or throw up a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, by the same he will return. And he will not come to this city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." Then the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the men arose early in the morning, behold, all of these were dead. You can imagine what that looked like. 185,000 of King Sennacherib's army dead. It's a lot of dead people. "And behold, all these were dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived at Nineveh." God heard the prayer of King Hezekiah and his answer to the prophet Isaiah. The phenomenon of prayer. Prayer is the most awesome, phenomenal privilege that the Lord has given to us. It is never to be underestimated, never to be greatly appreciated. I'm going to close with a short poem about prayer. You may have heard the song. "Prayer is a song we all can sing, a light that the blind can see. Prayer is a gift the poor can bring, however poor they be. Prayer is a star that lights the way for those who are in despair. And when your heart kneels down to pray, God will hear your prayer. Prayer is a pillar for the weak, a comfort for those who fear. Prayer is a word the dumb can speak, a sound that the deaf can hear. Prayer gives itself to every creed, to none its power denied. Prayer lends its voice to every need, that pleads for God's reply. And I believe this poem is in the back by the file holders over there. So I'm closing with that. And if anyone will